The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Three.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. The top five things that we think you need to know, that you need to hear to make your afternoon complete.
Oh, he's very exciting.
Yes. Sometimes it's hard news stuff. Sometimes it's lighter fare. But mostly it's one hard news thing and then all lighter fare. But that's how that goes. But we figure that it's an important thing to know. So we start at
number five.
And here is Defense Secretary Mark Esper facing a number of questions from reporters at a briefing this afternoon, of course, on the situation in Iraq concerning the Iranian general who was killed by U.S. forces. Here is CNN Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr asking about the push for de-escalation before bringing up President Trump's threat to target Iranian cultural sites.
If you get an order, would you resign from office rather than violate the law?
Barbara, I'm not going to get into some hypothetical that you're portraying here. I'm fully confident that the president is not going to, the commander-in-chief will not give us an illegal order. And as I said, the United States military will, as it always has, obey the laws of armed conflict.
And escalation, does the U.S. have any responsibility or obligation to also de-escalate, or is that, in your view, solely in Iran's court?
Well, we're not the ones that have escalated this over the past arguably 40 years and certainly over the past several months. And so at this point, as I've said a few times now, the ball is in their court. What they do next will determine what happens in the subsequent moves.
Among the other things that Mark Esper said today in the Pentagon is much of what you heard yesterday on the program. We had Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who's also a member of the United States Air Force and a sitting U.S. congressman. He thought that the killing of this Iranian general was justified. And he said it was justified because Americans may not actually have been paying a lot of attention, and there have been other things that have not been highly publicized that have been going on in this conflict with Iran, a proxy conflict that's been going on in the Middle East, in Syria. We have been against Iranian forces. We deal with Iranian-backed terrorists in Iraq and in other parts of the Middle East and in places in Africa as well. Because, as you know, we just, as a matter of fact, a Chicago serviceman just lost his life in
Kenya.
Right? After there was a terrorist attack there by Al-Shabaab. And some of the funding that goes to these terrorist organizations like Al-Shabaab comes from Iran. And the guy who was in charge of that, the guy who was basically running the external wars for Iran, and some of them cloak and dagger wars, was this Soleimani guy. And that's the argument that Mark Esper made. And that was the argument that has been made by the Congressman Kinzinger. And, you know, as many, and I have a lot of disputes with the way things are going in America right now. I'm not 100% crazy about the tone and the tenor. This was a decision that I think a lot of politicians, as we now know, passed on. But we have moved to another stage of this with Iran. And the question really is, are we going to stop Iran's constant tinkering with the process in the Middle East? Because it does affect us and it does affect our allies in the Middle East. And this is a question. We'll have to just see where this all unfolds, I should say. But at the moment, it's what's done is done. And the big question that was being asked there, and it's important to point this out, the big question that was being asked there is it would be technically a violation of a United Nations treaty to target cultural or religious sites in a war situation. And we're not technically at war, but if Iran continues, if they retaliate for this and they escalate the situation, then the president says he will escalate the situation and he will go after those. And the question to Mark Esper was, would you go and that would technically be an illegal order based on the way that the Uniform Code of Military Justice operates and the way that the rules and regulations of the United States military is set down by the Pentagon. So the question then becomes, would he execute that illegal order in order to be done, right? Mm-hmm. And he says that he doesn't believe that that would actually happen. then the question was, well, if it did happen, would you resign? And he didn't want to speculate on that, which, I mean, who would want to speculate on that? And, you know, you understand the problem that people have here, is which is, you know, they have these jobs. They believe that they want to be responsible guardians of the United States. And they're just hoping that the president didn't quite understand that would be a conflict for these professionals who are working in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just, hey, do what I say, and you're gonna, and it's just fine, and I'll pardon you on the other side. It's far more complicated than that. So that's what he was responding to there, and it's a difficult situation. And the problem is, even when Democrats are asked about this, they always start with, well, you know, Soleimani was a bad guy. Everybody acknowledges that. The question is, at what point have we now found ourselves, and where do we go from here? So. That is to be seen.
How do we make it better, not worse?
Yes. Right. I'd like to see less people dead. And mm-hmm. and it would like to see the Iranians less involved in all of this. That, and I think everybody would. And I think the Iranians would like to see their government less involved in this. All right. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1 of the top 5 at 5. But first, Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roads and in the skies?
Extremely local news from your neighborhood at 718. Bob Surratt, WGN Mornings 5 to 9. WGN.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN TV.
We will continue with the top 5 at 5. I just want to tell you, that's the 5 most important things that you need to hear today. Now, when I say important, that's a really relative term. It's the 5 most entertaining and or important and or feckless things. I don't know. It depends. I said feck. All right. I want to say this, though. Coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour, so about 5:35, 5:38, we're going to talk about the 737 MAX. Now, you're thinking, why is that important to me? If you are planning a summer vacation, there's a possibility, a likelihood, actually, that the 737 MAX will be back flying. Would you fly it?
Mm-hmm.
Should you fly it? Mm. We will answer you only that's between you, your family, and your God, whether you would fly it. But should you fly it, we'll give you some of the answers to how they're going to make that work. I've been wondering about this the whole time, and I'm like an aviation geek. I love flying. I love going to an airport.
Taking a flight with Ro is like a kid in a candy store. He's like, check this out. Look at that. Cool.
I do. I like to look out the window and watch all the little things that are driving around the plane. It's like, it is just so much fun. But, I'm not a nervous flyer. I'm a very confident flyer. I like the idea of it. I don't know what I would do about the 737 MAX, because it's like you almost know too much.
Oh, way too much. And not to mention, it's not like, okay, we fixed the problem, we're coming back. It's like, we fixed the problem, we're coming back. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Oh, wait, no, we're not again. Oh,
right.
Wait, for a
exactly.
third time, we're not.
Exactly. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. So stay close, as we like to say. All right, here we go.
We're at number 4.
Netflix has just released the chilling trailer for its upcoming documentary series about Aaron Hernandez. Remember Aaron Hernandez? He was a New England Patriot tight end. He was convicted of murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got to kill somebody in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was acquitted of 2 other murders that everybody now subsequently thinks that he was involved in. Then he killed himself while he was in prison. I mean, it's just, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy story. It's a 3-part series portraying the athlete's murder trial, conviction, and prison suicide. It debuts on January 15th, and in this trailer, Hernandez can then be heard talking on the phone to his mother, Terry, from prison.
No one has allegedly murdered 2 people and then played an entire season as a professional athlete.
Aaron Hernandez was a ticking time bomb. So why is the story here?
He was out to prove something, like a tough guy all the time.
He had a second residence,
the Flophouse. He had trouble with drugs, with guns.
How can an individual who has everything get involved in something like this?
I was the happiest little kid in the world, and you f***ed me up.
I ain't living with that.
You did. I had nobody. What do you think I was going to do? Become a perfect angel?
Ooh. Mm. Oh, now that's the installation. That's reverse Jewish/Catholic guilt is what that is. That's the kid guilting the parent.
I killed
you're
because
the reason
of you.
You're the reason I did this.
Oh, man. All right. That ought to be something to watch. All right. Checking in at
number three.
Oh, now this is the kind of thing that's happening downtown. We've been talking about this all day. All these snatch and grab, smash and grab, and pushing people down and stealing stuff. This is the owner of Sid Jerome Menswear in the Loop. If you've been downtown, you walk around the Loop, you see the Sid Jerome store. It has been there for over 50 years. So the owner is Scott Shapiro. He says in the last 2 weeks alone, he's been robbed twice. And he's released the camera footage of this. It shows, this is at Clark and Madison, by the way, in case you want to stop by and buy something. Things
yeah,
are half
buy,
off.
Don't
yeah.
take.
The film, or the, you know, the cameras have caught these thieves racing to a set of clothing racks and snatching armfuls of expensive jackets. And within seconds, they're trying to leave. More than 30 coats have been stolen. Shapiro broke a finger after falling through a glass display during the theft last week. Not even to mention the one this week. And these all appear to be juveniles who appear to be unafraid of arrest and prosecution.
They know what they're doing. This is a team that has obviously done this several times. We want the powers that be to do something about this. They have no fear of repercussions. They're frankly out there doing adult crimes without the fear of doing adult time.
That's from ABC7 right there. But I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the people who are putting them up to it, I don't think that they're necessarily going out and fencing. I don't think a 16-year-old's going out and fencing this stuff.
Right, because they're probably not going to be able to sell it on their own. They don't really have the right clientele, I'm sure.
But the people who are selling it, mm-hmm. who are putting them up to going out and stealing this stuff, are using juveniles because they know that because the juveniles are unafraid because nothing's really going to happen to them.
Yeah. It's a problem.
The definition of a problem. Top 5.
Number 2.
Oh.
Another problem.
Yeah. A howling coyote was caught on camera by a near North Side resident right in his own backyard in broad daylight.
You don't want that.
No, that's like all those Halloween movies, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. No. All right, you know what? The bridge is washed out. I'm going to spend the night in the castle.
Yeah, that's not your average dog.
As Cook County's coyote population grows, Animal Care and Control fields more than 400 calls a year. Tim Akins came across his coyote, and it raised its head and howled out loud in his backyard. This is at North and Clybourne. Essentially, on one of those really expensive streets that's just on the north side of North Avenue, where there's multi-million-dollar mansions, this coyote has taste.
Yeah, you expect cougars, not coyotes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you. Cougars who have now married their second husbands. He said this looked like a zoo.
So the coyote was laying right here. It spent about, you know, 4 or 5 hours here sleeping yesterday. Same one, because it's common with the limp that everybody's been reporting.
Now it's going to get a little ugly. So this is a spoiler alert. Small dogs might get mauled in the rest of this story. About a mile to the north at Willow and Burling Streets in Old Town, Linda Bocci's toy poodle, Kiki, was turned into a chew toy by a coyote as Bocci was attempting to leash the 5-pound puppy.
I reached for the dog, and he reached for the dog, and he got her first.
Oh, my God.
That is so sad.
Did the dog make it?
Yeah, what happened to the dog? The dog made it.
Saying a prayer for Kiki, toy poodle.
We need more information about Kiki. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now, Ken Fron, is that the guy's name? Ken Fron, first spotted the coyote at Akin's urging. He called 911 and Chicago Animal Care and Control.
Did Animal Control come out?
They did not. Well, this is becoming a little concerning for the community. If someone could have come out, tranquilized it, got it to a vet, fixed them up, brought them to a forest preserve, that would have been a really great ending to the story.
Yeah.
I saw two social media posts within the last 24 hours of people seeing. One was downtown on the north side. Someone caught a coyote running through the streets, and then one was out in the burbs. So I don't know what's going on.
Hmm. Well, coyotes are protected in Illinois. It's a sanctuary state for coyotes, and they seem to understand exactly what they need to do.
Making themselves
it's,
at home.
It's gotten around the coyote community. Right. This is a good place to come,
head to Chicago.
You know, hang out.
Well, then one had to be rescued from the water today, right?
Yes, and how do you go about rescuing a coyote from
That's
the water?
That's a great question.
I just jump in
Don't
there, Tommy, and grab
first.
It by the yeah. collar. Good luck.
They had him on a stretcher later after they rescued
Tommy,
him.
Tommy, you're the rookie on the dive team. It's your turn to go in and get the coyote. We want to thank CBS2 for the audio. Story. All right, and finally on the top 5 of 5.
Number one.
California, people living in Midtown Sacramento are getting an earful from a nearby McDonald's that's blasting nonstop bagpipe music. The whole idea is to keep homeless people away. But residents that live in the... Now, what now? Are the homeless naturally opposed to the bagpipe?
Well, that's what I was curious about. Why the bagpipe? I mean, I could think of worse things that you could be blasting. What are the CIA used... to torture.
Oh, you're right. Like
heavy metal music or whatever.
Pantera,
it was.
Yeah, I think, Pantera, is what they, yeah, that's what they used. But the idea of the bagpipe. I don't. I'm not a big fan either. I hate to say that because I do a lot of stuff that involves a bagpipe in my off hours. Charitable stuff, charitable events, mm-hmm. and it's, there's always a bagpiper at these
certain
things.
Ceremonies.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I try to act like I'm really enjoying it, but I really don't enjoy any of it.
I enjoy a good bagpipe session.
As long as they're played well, yes. Not that bad.
No, please don't tell them that I don't enjoy it because they're wearing the tartan and they got the stars and all that. It's very emotional. It makes you want to cry, but it makes you want to cry because it just makes you feel awful. Maybe that's the idea, but the rest of the people who are going through and trying to get a Big Mac, a number 7, please, Diet Coke, like that's going to help. I don't know how that's going to work. All right. Well, anyway, so here you are. These are the people, the apartment complex across the street from the McDonald's. It's driving them nuts.
The first couple days, they had it on 24/7. So if we wouldn't have said anything or reported it to the police, they would have had their thing going on still. It actually penetrates through the walls. Like, we can hear it. And I'm trying to watch TV or whatever, and it's going through that.
I think it's an absurd action to take instead of actually dealing with the issue. It
sticks in your head when you're, like, going somewhere else and you're not even in this neighborhood.
Yeah, I turn off the leaf blower, and I can still hear the bagpipes coming, and it's constant.
It was offensive to me because it's just so annoying.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. It turns out the homeless are still there. They are not being dissuaded by the bagpipe music.
Oh man, talk about driving someone crazy.
Right, the renters across the street, they got a problem. See, I mean, listen to that. I mean, seriously. Who could listen to that all day long? Don't tell the Emerald Society that I said that. All right, let's do this. Let's close up the top 5 of 5. And then on the other side, we're going to find out if you have summer vacation plans that include flying, how the 737 MAX might actually affect you. Don't go anywhere.
The top 5 at 5.